Bugs bugging you? Plants looking puny? Water bills too high? Well, you found the place to get the answers. It's Dirt Doctor Radio with the Dirt Doctor himself. Here he is, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome back, everybody. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. We're talking gardening, landscaping, environmental issues, whatever is on your mind. I need to do a Victor pet tip. For Victor dog food, VictorDogFood.com is the place for information there. And I want to relate it to the dogs that we haven't been able to help yet here in the Dallas SPCA. We've got three dogs there that we need some help with. So those of you that can ease on down to the Jan Rhys Jones Animal Care Center and check out Ritter, Bear, and Scrappy, all three available for adoption, and their pictures are on our website on dirtdoctor.com. And then this week's pet is, I guess it's Pharos. I may be mispronouncing that, P-H-A-R-O-S, and he's a good-looking dude, too. He's our featured pet this week, so check them all out and check out the great information and photographs and all on VictorDogFood.com and on their Facebook page as well. And once again, for all of you around the country, try to support your rescue operations in whatever city you are as well. It's always the best way to go. And you can get mutts or you can get purebred dogs of any breed that you are interested in having. They're all available at those kind of places. Telephone number 866-444-3478. Here's Candace in Weatherford, Texas. Hi, Candace.
Good morning again, Dr. Garrett.
What's up?
There was a guy several calls ago now who has a problem with mold.
Mm-hmm.
Before the fire, I had a warehouse of gardening books, and even before I learned about organic things from you, I just would rather something die than to use poisons. Because it gets into animals and the waterways. I just never would.
Yep.
But anyway, so I had read that, I've never had a problem with mold, but my sister in East Texas did. And I said, I read that you can take barbershop clippings, you know, not like long hair, but the little from guy's hair, typically, and take a stick and shove that down where you see your lawn humped up, you know, where the little moles are. And I read that their hair goes both ways, so it is a great irritant to them. And you shove that hair, those barbershop clippings, down into the hole. Well, it got rid of her mole. I've never tried it, but she did. And they took off, maybe to the neighbor's yard. I don't know.
Well, that's a great report. I've heard that before, but it's good to have it verified. We've also heard people use chewing gum, you know, and I've heard good and bad reports about that idea. So I like the hair idea better.
Right. Yeah, and it's free. You go there, and they'll be glad to give it to you.
Well, you know, somebody called the show a couple of weeks ago and was talking about repelling animals with hair, and they said, you know what, we talk about human hair a lot, but when you brush your dogs, and if you ever have cat hair, you know, using it in that same way might work as well or even better.
I believe it, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially the short hair, because it's more bristly,
I guess.
You know, so that's what I wanted to pass on to him with the mold problem, because it worked for my sister. I don't have any moles, but he said it worked great. They took off.
That's great. I'm glad you called back with it. I should have mentioned it myself. Thanks, Candace.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you later. And we got an open line for you at 866-444-3478. Here's Bill in Canton, Texas again. Hey, Bill.
How are you doing, Howard?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
Well, kind of a two-part question here. I've got a flower bed that I'm probably going to end up trying to take out today, and it's got three, I think they're Italian cypress in it, but I'm digging up the flower bed, and I've got Bermuda all around it. If I dig up that flower bed and just leave it empty, do you think that Bermuda would take over, or would it be worth sodding it over or sodding that place back up to fill that grass back in?
You lost me. You're taking out a bed, and you want it to become turf?
Yes.
Okay. Well, you can do either one. It's just a matter of time. If you have Bermuda kind of spotted in there and you water it and fertilize it, Bermuda will spread and take over pretty quickly. But if you want it to look good right away, you can plant it solid sod. So you've got that wide range of how you could go there. You could also plant Bermuda grass seed, and because this is the perfect time to do that.
Oh, okay. So the seed actually might be a good option. All right. And you don't think that would choke those cypress out, do you?
Well, are these real upright cypress?
They are.
Okay, those are Italian cypress. No, I don't think there's going to be any real competition. I think the cypress would like it better if they were in a bed that had nothing but shredded native cedar mulch. In other words, no competition.
Okay.
They'll grow in grass without any problem at all. You just need to, keep the moisture level reasonable and fertilize on a reasonable basis.
Yeah, absolutely. What size, how much bed do you think would be best to have around that then, around those cypress?
Oh, well, what would be ideal would be to have a bed that's at least 10 feet by 10 feet. If the tree had the vote of what to have under it, and this goes for any tree out there, it would vote to have nothing but healthy, natural mulch.
All right.
Any kind of planting competes to a degree with trees. Of course, we do it all the time, and it's acceptable, and it works reasonable. But if for the ideal conditions for a tree, there'd be nothing but mulch under it.
All righty. Well, that answers my question. Thank you, sir.
Appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what goes on in nature, and what goes on in nature is also different ground covers and all growing under them, but in nature, you're never going to see real, you're not going to see real heavy, dense ground covers and perennials and things like that growing under the trees that are really healthy. You'll see it, but that's more rare. In the forest situation, it's mostly just the natural mulch on the ground. Pat in Denton next up. Hello, Pat.
Hi, good morning, Howard. Thank you so much for this tip. I'm asking for what looks to be a beautiful beginning of the season four buds loaded on the rose bush.
Roses have been pretty already this year. But yeah,
wow.
That's right.
But what if any, Howard, please, is a tip for rose blight? This almost looks as if the past two springs have been a bad made-for-TV horror movie.
What do you mean by rose blight? What is that?
What is the powdery...
Well, powdery mildew is a fungus, and it looks like powder on the leaves. That's a fungus, and then the little black spots that are surrounded by yellow that are on the leaves, and then the whole leaf turns yellow. That's called black spot, and that's a fungal disease. Is that what you're talking about?
That's it. Is that the one that you have spoken about for peroxide and being meticulous about cleaning?
No, that's the easier one to control. The fungal diseases are the easiest diseases to control of all. What you do for that is you spray. The commercial product would be Serenade. The homemade version, the homemade product would be cornmeal juice. You soak a cup of cornmeal, whole ground cornmeal, in a 5-gallon bucket of water, strain out the solids, and spray it by itself, or mix it with Garrett juice and spray. You can also use garlic or garlic pepper tea. Garlic has antifungal capabilities. Pretty easy disease to control if you're consistent with your spraying, doing it every now and then. Roses are going to have that as built-in equipment, in a lot of cases. The rosette is where we've recommended the hydrogen peroxide. And you can mix hydrogen peroxide into your Garrett juice spray to spray for powdery mildew or for black spot. It's just that you don't necessarily have to use that heavy artillery.
Okay. And so when is a wise time? Is it as a pre-treatment before that appears? Because it has the last two springs.
If you spray on a every 2 or 3 week basis with the Garrett juice as a foliar feed, and you put a little cornmeal juice in or a little garlic in the spray, or a little potassium bicarbonate does the same thing, you'd probably never have any disease at all. I'm more cavalier than that. I just kind of let my roses grow because I'm always wanting to see what all I can get away with. And I'll have the spots pop up, and if it gets too bad, I'll spray them. But generally, if you keep the soil healthy and you've planted adapted varieties and you haven't covered them up with larkspur like I did, I've got larkspur covering up some of my smaller roses right now, and we're having to fight to keep the larkspur cut back. The larkspur is so beautiful, I don't want to take it out yet. But in other words, the better the conditions are, less problem you're going to have with those diseases, but they are easy to control with organic techniques.
Thank you, Howard. And am I all right with waiting to see what the bush does?
Sure.
Do what it does.
Yeah, do it as a curative. I got to run. Hope that helps you.
Thank you.
I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this. I have a great recommendation for container gardening. Smart Pot is superior in several ways. It's a fabric container that releases heat and enhances root structure because it's fabric. You can have a garden in any location. It's easy to carry, lasts for years, provides excellent drainage, and prevents soil compaction and circling roots. For more information or to find a store in your area, go to smartpots.com or call 800-521-8098. That's smartpots.com.
When gardening is part of your life, it brings so much. Healthy eating, the freshest, most local produce, and playing in the dirt. At BonniePlants.com, you'll find all you need to succeed. When you grow Bonnie veggie and herb plants in beds or containers, you'll know where your food comes from. Homegrown veggies and herbs ready for cooking, eating, and enjoying. And you did it. So get growing with Bonnie Plants.
As we age, it's important to keep moving, but it doesn't have to hurt. You know, sometimes pain is inevitable, but suffering can be optional. In addition to healthier eating habits and staying active, I've discovered a powerful new formula to help provide nutritional support for healthy inflammation response. Kyolic Curcumin from our friends at Kyolic. Kyolic Curcumin is a synergistic combination of the antioxidant properties of odorless organic aged garlic extract, along with a proprietary Mariva turmeric complex made from a unique blend of curcumin and phosphatidylcholine to help maximize absorption. I take Kyolic Curcumin every day to provide natural support for healthy inflammation response, joint and muscle health, cardiovascular benefit, colon and liver function, as well as other nutritional benefits. So take the first step with Kyolic Curcumin. The rest is easy.
Kyolic Curcumin is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere. For more information, visit kyolic.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
All righty, Howard, back with you. We never got confirmation on that 800 number, so best thing to do on that Reg Active product, this wonderful new biological product that helps detox the pesticides like Roundup, glyphosate, the things that we've talked about a whole lot. Best way to find them is at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, places like that, and other places where the Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold. And by the way, if you're wondering, I'm taking them both, and that's what's being recommended, is to do actually both of them, especially for those of you that are around the pesticides a lot and having some stomach and gut issues. That's definitely what would be recommended. Let's see what else we need to do. We need to go back to the phone and talk to Mike in Fort Worth next. Hi, Mike.
Hello. Good morning.
What's going on?
My question is, I have a raised bed, circular flower bed, and it's surrounded by concrete. Mm-hmm. And I've had some pansies and periwinkles in there. And every time I water it, I come back the next morning and get the paper, and some of them, quite a few of the flowers are just popped right out. It laid down. Wow. It doesn't seem to have any signs of anything eating on them. So I just stick them back in, and you know, periodically something comes and pops them out, and I don't know what it could be.
They're roots and all. They're just totally out of the ground.
Yeah, just like somebody lifting them up. You know, I make a little hole, you know, and put them in, you know, plant them, and then they just pop right out.
That's,
I mean,
really interesting.
Pulling them.
I've got some weird neighbors that most of my neighbors really love the flowers and love what we do and everything, and some of them object to anything hanging out over the sidewalk, you know, 2 inches, and they'll break limbs off and do some damage from time to time. So it's possible that some person is doing that, Mike. The other thing is dogs occasionally do it. I had a little, I think I told this on the air a week or so ago, had a little new Styrex tree that I planted, and apparently some dog pulled it out of the ground and chewed it up and left it on the surface of the soil to die. So sometimes dogs will do that. That's a definite possibility. And you don't have to happen to have sandy soil where you are by any chance, do you?
it's a little sandy because it's a raised bed and it's all with compost and lava sand and green sand and all
that. Okay, good. Well, the only thing I was going to suggest that might also be it is moles, gophers, you know, voles, something like that. But I'll bet you got a dog problem.
Okay, yeah. I'll take that suggestion. I've had deer in the yard, you know, and they really like that moss rose, I can tell.
Well,
pop those up too, but you know this is concrete around about a 12-foot you know driveway completely around it. It's like you know I guess deer will walk on concrete also.
Oh yeah, they'll walk across concrete to get to plants, and if they reach down to nibble off some of the foliage from a young plant like that and pulled on it, they would you know be able to pull the plant out of the ground too. That may be very well what it is.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know what to tell you other than some of the repellents. Maybe the hair, like was recommended, human hair or pet hair. If you've got some pets, when you brush them, put some hair out and see if we can't repel the beasts if it's deer. And if it's dogs, hot pepper sometimes. Real like you'd put on a pizza, you know, the heavy red pepper?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Dusting it around the plants might keep the dogs away. You have to redo it from time to time. They'll get used to it, but redo it. If it seems to work, and maybe we'll figure out that it is the dogs, if that's the case.
One other quick question, if you have time.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Peaches, with the good storms and everything, I have so many, they're overloaded. You know, they're like in clusters of three. Mm-hmm. They might be bigger than smaller than a golf ball, but when they're in clusters of three, I pulled, you know, one or two here and there. What is the best way to prune, not prune it, but, you know.
Thin them out.
Thin them out.
Yeah, just pick them off, and if you keep them about as wide apart as your fist,
okay,
that's ideal.
Okay.
And, yeah, you'll have bigger fruit if you do thin them out. If you let them remain real tightly clustered, they'll be fine. They'll still taste fine, but they'll be real small.
Okay. Squirrels will climb that tree and get them too.
Squirrels can be a big problem.
I lose a lot of them. Yep. You know, I mean, they haven't been bearing very well, but this year they're just abundant. And you know, a couple of I've put nylon socks over them or something like that. Just
physical barriers. About the only thing you can do. Squirrels are tough. They're smart. They know when the food is getting ripe and know when to come in there. So you just have to battle with it, you know.
Thanks.
Good luck. I'm glad you're having good production.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
See you, Mike. Let's go to Coleman, Texas. Talk to Bill. Hey, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Howard. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Thank you.
I've got a couple of quick questions. I planted a couple of pink gar that I like that are really pretty.
I like that plant, too.
I've got spots all over, little pink spots, and some of them turn almost black, and some of the more advanced ones even make a hole in the leaf.
Are these in full sun, Bill?
Yep.
Well, it could be from just all the rain that we've had. That's a very drought-tolerant plant. I've got some growing at the office, and they seem to be doing pretty well, but it's probably fungal, which means make up some cornmeal juice if you want to and spray it on there, or potassium bicarbonate and water, or baking soda and water, and it'll knock that off, no problem.
Baking soda and water. What's the
a rounded tablespoon of baking soda per gallon of water. I got to run, but I'll put you on hold. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this.
Howard's latest book, Organic Lawn Care, Growing Grass the Natural Way, will take you step by step through installing and maintaining turf organically. He explains in detail how to establish and maintain a lawn, including planting, mowing, watering, fertilizing, and managing weeds and other pests. Follow the program in Organic Lawn Care, and don't be surprised when your water bill drops 40 to 50% and your lawn is the best looking one on the block. To order, call 866-444-3478. That's 866-444-3478. Or ask for it in your favorite bookstore or garden center.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on natural organic programs in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC's mission is to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center needs your support. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the homepage to contribute. Your contribution is tax deductible. Please donate to make our world better today.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garajuice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garajuice Plus, and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I have for years advised homeowners about pet health, landscaping, gardening, and pest control. In the pet category, I now have a strong dog and cat recommendation. There are many good pet foods on the market, and we've promoted some of the very best, but Victor is the dog food I recommend and feed my dogs now, and I think you should try it with your pets as well. They'll enjoy it just like mine do. The formulas that I focus on are the grain-free ones, but none of the Victor products contain wheat, corn, soy, or gluten. They're all naturally preserved with no toxins, fake flavors, or colors, and they're loaded with vitamins, minerals, and enzymes, also probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dog Carmen and Tater look and feel better than ever. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store. For more information, go to victordogfood.com or email me by clicking on Ask Howard button on dirtdoctor.com. That's victordogfood.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at dirtdoctor.com.
Howard, back with you, and we were talking off the air about the kind of rushed answer I gave on disease, fungal disease on guara. It doesn't matter what plant it's on, but two of the first natural disease control things that we ever used and recommended were baking soda and potassium bicarbonate for that use. Baking soda is easier to get, obviously. Use it at a rounded tablespoon per gallon. I think the specific recommendation was 3 teaspoons per gallon or something like that, 3 or 4, but a rounded tablespoon per gallon works fine. It's easy to remember. Potassium bicarbonate is probably better than baking soda because baking soda is sodium bicarbonate, and potassium bicarbonate is potassium, and so a little bit better for the soil if you use it very often. But either one of them, a rounded tablespoon per gallon, can be used. The cornmeal juice and other things can be done. All those formulas are on my website on dirtdoctor.com. On the homepage, under guides, click on the word guides, and under that you'll find all of the formulas. And by the way, there are people that recommend synthetic fertilizers, the chemical fertilizers that tell you to use, you know, nitrogen-only products, 24-00. That's really, 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 really bad advice. Putting out any kind of a single element fertilizer like that, it just wrecks the biology of the soil. There's nothing you can do that's more antagonistic and destructive to the balance, the blend and balance of the beneficial bacteria and mycorrhizal fungus and other beneficials in the soil than putting out just a nitrogen-only product. If you put one that's got weed and feed, that's a weed and feed product that has atrazine or some kind of toxic chemical pesticide, that's even worse. But the nitrogen-only things are a very, very close second. This business about not putting out anything that has any phosphorus in it, the middle number, is not correct either, because the even though the soils have a lot of phosphorus in them, and in certain parts of Texas, there's high levels of phosphorus in the soil, because of the recommendations from the universities that have recommended synthetic fertilizers over the years. The phosphorus in the synthetic fertilizers is what's called triple superphosphate, and it's made in a way that's more economical to make, but it's a horrible form of phosphorus. And it locks up things in the soil, including the phosphorus, and not being available to the plant. So this new, relatively new recommendation of not using any phosphorus in the fertilizers is bad advice, because a lot of plants need the phosphorus because it's not available to the plant. And in the organic fertilizers, there's such a nice buffering of the major elements and then the trace minerals as well, making them all available to the plant. You really don't have a problem with the phosphorus for the most part at all. And all the organic fertilizers are going to have nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. Some of them have fairly low levels of phosphorus, which is fine, but you want some is the point. You don't want zero. The new commercial Garrett juice, for example, has very low level of phosphorus in it, and some states around the country are demanding, making it illegal to put out phosphorus-containing fertilizer. So if you need that, they're available. But read our information on DirtDoctor.com about the phosphorus story. It's somewhat detailed, but it's good for you to understand it when you're dealing with your fertilizer issues. Okay, back to the phones. John in Arlington next up. Hey, John.
Yes, sir. Good morning, and I have a few questions. One of them is a nuttall oak tree.
Mm-hmm.
I picked it up about 27, 8 years ago down at Seguin, South Texas. It was about 7, 8 inches tall, put in the backyard, and fertilized a little bit, and it grew. It's pretty good size now. It's probably around 30 feet high.
Okay.
And the last 7 or 8 years, the leaves, I noticed, are yellow, and in the middle of it is green. And I had a man come out here, put a little fertilizer in the tree trunk, and then went around the ground and aerated it with a around 300-pound deal that he shot in the ground all around the trees, all around the backyard. And I was wondering, a nuttall, it's in sandy land down in South Texas, and I got black land.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if that's the cause of it deteriorating.
Yep, it's a pH problem, John. I tried one. I was kind of excited about growing nuttall in under an organic program in alkaline soils,
uh-huh,
like you and I have, and you can't do it. Mine turned chlorotic and ended up being taken out. It's a tree that's very similar to pin oak.
Okay.
Which is in East Texas, a beautiful tree in East Texas, and acid sandy soils, or in Oklahoma or in other parts of the country where it's acid sandy soil. But nuttall and pin oak will not grow in alkaline soils. And when you're injecting stuff into the tree or putting a bunch of amendments in the soil, I'm sorry to tell you, it's just a waste of time.
Is there any alkaline or whatever you're talking about to the soil to make it to where it grows?
No, that's what I'm saying. Trying to change the pH to an acid condition is just throwing your money away. You can't do it. Well, same thing with pin oaks. Exactly the same thing.
Looks like I got a time on my hand of when I'm going to have to cut that down, I guess.
Yeah, you need to plant something that's more adapted. Cedar elm, big tooth maple, Mexican sycamore is real fast growing, good tree. Look at something like that instead. Just don't fight it. It's not worth the effort.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, ma'am. I want to write that down if you can.
The trees I recommend for you?
Yes.
Big tooth maple would be great. The fastest growing tree that will grow in any kind of soil is Mexican sycamore. It's actually more beautiful and tougher than our native sycamore. And cedar elm is a native tree that's just terrific. Bur oak and red oak and live oak and, you know, all those are great too. But the first ones I mentioned are a little bit more unusual. You'll have a little harder time finding them, but it would be worth the effort.
Sycamore.
Mexican sycamore, not regular American sycamore.
Oh, Mexican.
Yeah.
And what else now?
Big tooth maple.
Big tooth. Which one's the fastest?
The sycamore.
Maple.
Mm-hmm. Well, big tooth maple is a great tree, but the Mexican sycamore is the fastest growing of the bunch. And cedar elm is just a wonderful native tree. John, I'm going to have to run on. Got a bunch of people holding, but I hope that gets you going in the right direction.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Danny's turn in Bosque County. Hi, Danny.
Hey, morning, Howard.
Hey.
Couple of questions for you. Got a bunch of little flies, teeny flies. They hover around like hummingbirds. I mean, they can hold middle in the air. That's a good fly, right?
Could be. There's a lot of different flies. The fly that's really beneficial that you may be thinking about is called the long-legged fly, and it's a blue-green iridescent color, very distinctive, and it lands on the leaves of various plants and looks around, but it's a predator and a beneficial to have in the garden. The little gnat-like flies around could be beneficial, could be a pest. They're usually just kind of irritating to get rid of them.
Well, it's just weird to have these little flies that come up, and they'll just be 5 or 6 inches away from you, and they'll hover like a hummingbird. I mean, they'll be static in the air like a hummingbird.
Well, take a look at hoverfly. It may be very well may be what it is, and if it's hoverfly, they're extremely beneficial. That tends to be a pretty big fly. It's close to the size of a honeybee. It's not little bitty.
Yeah. Well, now I want to move to my next question.
Okay.
Last spring, maybe March, got 2 bur oaks from Rhodies, put them out. They did okay during the year. We had grasshoppers kind of gnawing on them, but they looked okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then the fall, deer came along and rubbed them pretty heavy. So now then they're coming back, but only from about 2 feet above the ground. What do I need to do? Let them go this year and then try to next year establish some dominant leaders, or what do I need to do?
Yeah, let it grow, and as soon as one of the shoots gives some indication of being the strongest one, encourage it and start cutting the others away. For this first growing season, you could let them all grow, and then next year, this winter maybe, identify the strongest one, cut it away, and channel all of the energy into that one becoming the dominant central leader.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You can let them
all
grow now.
Yeah, this year, just let whoever,
right.
Just let them go. And,
right.
But, I mean, they're healthy. They're doing well. Like I said, it was mostly the deer. Has to grow. Back to the phosphorus issue. Has to grow. That phosphorus is a good phosphorus in there?
Yeah, it's okay. Has to grow. You know, it's one of my great sponsors that makes that product, but that is not a true organic liquid product. That's synthetic fertilizers with some liquid humates and other things put in it. It works well. It's a heck of a lot better than Miracle-Gro. But
that's what I think of it as an organic miracle grow, but it's not organic.
It's not really organic. It has synthetic fertilizers in it. It's a trend for transition, or if you don't want to be totally organic or whatever, that's fine. But it does contain urea and some other synthetic fertilizers. So if you want to be truly organic, you need to go, you know, the Garrett juice route, which they make too, by the way.
But so to get it's hard to find the kind of beigey brown clay phosphorus that we used to. Everything now seems to be the little pellet forms. Is that organic or not that I find?
Well, phosphorus is interesting, and that's what we cover in all the writing. If you're interested, you might want to read what Malcolm and I have put in some books about phosphorus and also on my website. But the super phosphate that used to be available, which may be what you're referring to, is a pretty good source of phosphorus, and I think fits into an organic program fairly well. They've made it by treating sulfuric, the rock that
phosphorus
they...
with sulfuric acid, right?
Yeah, and they started doing it with a different rock and a different acid, and that ended up making the triple superphosphate, and that's the one that ties up all the nutrients in the soil. The superphosphate that was the original product did not do that. It functioned well, and nutrients continued to be available to the plant. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. I got to run. I'll be right back after this. Don't go away.
Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor here for Victor Pet Foods. Besides having grain-free products, all Victor formulations are free of wheat, corn, soy, or gluten and are naturally preserved with no toxins, flavors, or colors. Victor's loaded with vitamins, minerals, enzymes, probiotics, prebiotics, and other healthy ingredients. My dogs, Carmen and Tater, love the Victor. I feel strongly that your dogs will too. Ask for Victor in your favorite pet or feed store or go to victordogfood.com. That's victordogfood.com.
We know probiotics are good for digestive health, but what about your skin? I'm Kat James, author of The Truth About Beauty. Common skincare products can disrupt the balance of the friendly bacteria on your skin. That's why Dr. O'Hara's probiotics merge ancient Japanese fermentation skills with probiotic and prebiotic nutrients into a revolutionary 100% natural skincare line to help revive and support balanced microecology for healthy skin. Their Kampuku Beauty Bar, honored with the Best of Beauty Award by Better Nutrition, promotes optimal skin ecology while clarifying and rebalancing even sensitive skin without drying. Their Magoroku lotion combines Dr. O'Hara's award-winning pre- and probiotic isolate with 14 oxygenating plant extracts plus one of the most skin-compatible emollients known to restore your glow. Research confirms it inhibits growth of harmful bacteria that can cause skin disorders. Use it alone or with your favorite serums. Dr. O'Hara's probiotic skincare is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine stores.
Maestro Grow, maker of great fertilizers and soil amendments like Texas Tea, Rose Glow, and the Sick Tree Treatment, is now manufacturing Garrett Juice Pro, the advanced mix of Garrett Juice formula. Garrett Juice Pro improves the health of soil and plants with humic acid, apple cider vinegar, molasses, seaweed, and hydrolyzed fish, also beneficial bacteria and fungi. Ask for it at garden centers, farm and feed stores, and hardware stores. For Garrett Juice and other fine products, call 940-648-5400 or go to maestrogrow.com.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The Sick Tree Treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
I'm always working to find new and better organic products. One of the companies that helps me in that regard is the Medina Corporation in Hondo, Texas. They've been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building longer than anybody in the business. Medina produces fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulations that work by stimulating the soil biology to help all crops. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has the products to help you budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right. There's a new prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food that I recommend you try. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is also made by Medina, and it's available in all sizes, quarts, gallons, barrels, and even large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. The website's medinaag.com. You'll find the Medina label at all hardware, nursery, and feed stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com. To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard Garrett back with you. Before we go back to the phone, let me explain this. Didn't do a very good job of explaining this phosphorus thing with Danny very well. The way that phosphorus was originally created was that they took phosphate rock and treated it with sulfuric acid, and that created O20O, as the super phosphate. And that was the good phosphorus product I was telling you about. It used to be in fertilizers. It could be bought by itself and used. It's now not available very much because somebody came up with a brilliant idea to treat the phosphate rock with phosphoric acid, which created triple superphosphate. Well, the reason that they got all excited about this idea was that it created a lot more phosphorus at a lot lower price. But triple superphosphate, which is 0.46 instead of 0.20, had this bad quality of tying up the nutrients in the soil. It's why the synthetic fertilizers through the years have created this giant phosphorus, too much phosphorus in the soil kind of thing, and locked up trace minerals, not making them available to the plants and all that kind of thing. It's one of the reasons, one of the main reasons why the organic program from a fertility standpoint works so well, especially on a long-term basis. So if you're looking at phosphorus, if you can find O20O, pretty good stuff, but it's hard, very hard to find now. The O46O is what's in all of the synthetic fertilizers out there that I don't recommend that you use. Rich, and by the way, on our website, dirtdoctor.com, just go to the library, go to phosphorus, the A&M and phosphorus stories there, and other things from Malcolm and me are there that'll explain it to you in more detail. Richard in Denison next up. Hi, Richard.
Howard, I wanted to ask you about TEFF, T-E-F-F, for the pasture grass. It's and can be used for hay, I think.
You know, somebody else asked me about that, and I didn't do a good job of looking into it. You're not talking about TIFF, T-I-F-F. You're talking about T-E-F-F?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a hybrid grass? Is that what it is?
Well, no. I think it's a small grain, probably something like millet or something.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry, Richard. I didn't do a good job of looking into that, and I just don't know enough about it to help you with it. Let me make another note here, and I'll try to find out more. So next time you call, I'll have some better information for you.
Okay. Thank you, Howard. I have a seed catalog out of Idaho.
Okay.
I called them about that TEFF, and they said, yeah, it would grow here, but they're selling seed, and I'm not sure whether it'll do well here.
Yeah. I don't know either. I don't know any of my farm and rancher buddies that have done it, but I've made a big note here to look into it, and I will do that, Richard. I appreciate it. If you
I'll call back.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Send me an email, and I'll try to get back with you direct, info@dirtdoctor.com.
Thank you, Howard.
Okay. Appreciate the call. Anybody knows anything about TEFF, T-E-F-F, by all means, let me know. Help educate me. Randy in Justine, Texas. Justine, Texas. Hi, Randy.
Hey. I wanted to ask you about, you were talking about fertilizer earlier, a product called C90, S-E-A-90 fertilizer.
Okay. That's probably one that's got salt in it, be my guess. Isn't that part of what it is, or is it a seaweed product?
No, it's a salt product, the dehydration of H2O from seawater.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought it was.
Part of it says it has no more salinity than the human tear, which I suspect is pretty high in salt.
Salt in general is a pretty good soil amendment. It kind of surprises people when they hear that said, I guess, but especially sea salt. You know, the Redmond Industries people sell a salt that I use at home on food, and they have a soil amendment that's real high in salt. And some farmers and ranchers use just pure salt at low levels as a soil amendment and a fertilizer. So I haven't used this specific one. I've seen it around. I've seen the name C90, and it appears to be pretty high quality. All I would recommend that you do is get a good soil test and make sure that the chemistry in this salt product is not going to kick the sodium or some of the other salts up too high for you.
Okay. Well, he touted, it was a Dr. Maynard Murray, and he also mentioned a full spectrum ocean minerals and trace elements.
Yeah.
That plants need for proper cell.
Well, there's no question that sea salt is loaded with trace minerals. That's why it's so healthy for the human body, you know, and to ingest. But and it's fine on the land, too. All I'm saying is don't overdo it. It's like anything with the organic program. You know, a lot of times less is better. So just be careful about the amounts.
Okay, had one other question, but I guess we'll take it off air.
Yeah, let me go ahead and do that. I got a couple people holding, and I'll talk to you before I get out of here. Appreciate everybody today. Good questions and some good tips, and a couple of questions that stumped me that I'll look into. That TEFF thing we'll definitely look into. I should have done that before because somebody's asked me about that before, and I forgot. Enjoy your gardens during the week. If you have a question, send it to us at info@dirtdoctor.com. You can join the members-only area. It's the green button over on the left-hand side of the homepage at dirtdoctor.com. The newsletter's free. Just send us an email to info@dirtdoctor.com or fill out the form that's right there on the homepage. Enjoy your gardens again, and don't forget to feed and water the birds.